You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
Come on up. Would you just let them know you appreciate them? So if you guys don't mind making your way up here, really appreciate it. So this is great. Thank you, guys. We have Kelly and Kevin and Dave. And then I believe Courtney's right there. And this is, listen, this represents just a portion of our team. We had almost 30 folks go with us. And we wish we could get everyone up here to share their story because they all have an incredible story. We shared those stories last night in our living room. We got together and we got to talk story in our living room, and it was really fun. Today, what we want to do is just give you, if you're visiting with us, you're new with us, we took a trip a few weeks back to Kenya. We went to a outside of a community called Alderet. It's western, toward the Great Lakes region, the Great Rift Valley area. And so we were there and almost 2 weeks, and we just had a wonderful time. And so we're so thankful that we've been given an opportunity, and your generosity has created those opportunities, and we're blessed by that. So what I'm going to do is just pray and ask the Lord just to touch your heart right now. If he's calling you, if he's prodding you, then just answer that call. Father, we want to thank you today for your great grace in our lives and the ways that you work and the way that you love us and care for us, and we're just so grateful for that. Lord, we just pray that our hearts would be encouraged for those that are seeking today, seeking to find a call or direction. Let that be so evident and true in following you. In Jesus' name we pray, and we say together, amen. Amen. Team, you may be seated. That's great. Hey, listen, one of the things I want to start this out with is this is really about lives being transformed. So when we talk about transformation, we're not talking just about going somewhere and having a mission where those that we visit, their lives are transformed. We're talking about this being a mutual experience. Did you know that it's always a mutual experience? Whenever you go to serve, there's transformation. We hope the people we do serve, there's transformation. I think what you're going to hear today from those that did go and serve, that there's probably more transformation that happened in our lives than probably those folks that we spent time with, developed friendships with in Kenya. And so I'm grateful for that. You know, one of the greatest things I think that we can ever do is we can always be on the lookout to find out where does God want us to go. Sometimes we make the formula very complicated because that's what we do. That's sometimes what theology does, and that's sometimes what religion does. But can I give you a very, very easy formula that y'all can operate by, you can live by this, and it's actually found in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. It says, and as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. That's actually all you need to know. That's all you need to know. Because there are two things here that make you effective in the life that you're in, the community, the gifts that you've been given. One is that you need to have feet to take you to where God shows you and who he shows you to go to. You want to make discipleship really simple? Whatever he shows you, whatever you see, have obedient feet to go there. It says here that he was walking, and while he was walking, he saw. And what he saw in you is he saw value, he saw worth, he saw brokenness, he saw sin. And the amazing thing to me is he kept walking to me, even when he saw my brokenness. And he does that, and he wants us to have the same kind of missionary feet. How lovely are the feet of those that bring good news. So I'm going to say this, your mission, the gospel, your faith is always connected to your feet. Please know that. If your faith is not connected to your feet, you might want to reevaluate your faith. You've got to always know that it takes you somewhere. So let your feet take you to who your eyes see. And that's exactly what Jesus did. We're following the Great Commission here. That's why we talk about this. We're making and we want to help make disciples who make disciples for Jesus. It's just another way of phrasing the Great Commission. And what Jesus said in Matthew 28, he says, and then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain there that Jesus told them to go to. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And I love this. This is your promise, and surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. That is our promise. So the one thing that we have happen here at Canby Four Square Church is we want to really always listen to the direction of God's Holy Spirit. And typically when we go do the things that we do on the mission field and planting churches, I want to give a qualifier here. I don't really have a whole lot to do with that. I don't have a whole lot to do with putting up a map and saying, hey, let's go here. There's no grand plan. You know where the grand plan is? It's in your heart. That's the grand plan. See, my vision is to try to, in this church, help you find your vision. And if you're willing to be brave enough and courageous enough to find your vision, you're in the right place. Because we will help you find that. And there are so many things that happen, so many great dynamics when that happens, and I'm so blessed by that. The person that actually helped us find this vision to go to Open Arms is Dave. Dave Burnett, great friend, been on the council. We've been buddies for 25 years, coached football. We've done all these things together. Dave is the owner and operator of Oswego Grills and all other associated restaurants to that. And so I just want Dave to share with you briefly what God did and how God stirred this up in his heart, and then a few of us are going to share as well. So Dave, why don't you share with us?
Thank you, Ron. Mm-hmm. I was thinking at my seat over there this morning that I have some notes and things I want to share, but more than anything, I just want to share with you the love that I've seen that our Father is doing in Kenya. Mm-hmm. About 9 years ago, Christy and I received a phone call from Bill and Neela Swore, and they invited us to go out to dinner. And I can tell you that we were thrilled. We love Bill and Neela. The dinner was an annual fundraising dinner for Open Arms International. And I can tell you that on that night, God touched our hearts for the kids in Kenya. Mm-hmm. We began a journey to find ways that could help those kids. And over the years, I've had some people ask me, Dave, why Africa? Why not downtown Portland? And my answer every time is simply the same. I don't know. I don't know why God touched my heart for those kids in Kenya. Mm-hmm. You know, I know my answer is there's need everywhere. But I guess at least in America, there's some type of program to come alongside and help. But there in Kenya, they have nothing. Since then, I've been dreaming and praying about with Christy about our church sending a team to see this Open Arms Village and the great work that is being done for God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. I approached Pastors Ron and Annette about this, and together we began to pray, think about, and plan a potential trip to the village. And so today, in front of all of you, I would like to thank our awesome pastors, Ron and Annette, for sending, blessing, and leading this team to the Open Arms Village. Yeah. It's simply a dream come true and an answer to prayer. While we were all there in the village, there were many blessings that took place, not only for Open Arms but and the kids, but also for all of us who were sent. The biggest blessing for me has always been the transformation of the kids. Seeing where they came from to where they are now. Kids that are often only 2 years old with maybe a five-year-old brother or sister looking after them. No mom, no dad. They're living on the street, looking for something to eat and to drink, and often they're addicted to glue because they smell empty glue bottles to take away the hunger pains. There was one such girl who came from the Canby Tesla slum to the Open Arms Village who touched Christy in my heart. Her name is Leonita. You see, Leonita was one of those kids, and her parents had passed away. 5 years ago, we had a chance to go to the Open Arms Village for the first time and meet Leonita, and have been blessed to be one of her sponsors over the years. On our recent visit, Christy and I had an opportunity to spend some time with Leonita. We gave her a Bible as a gift. We talked to her about her school, her grades, her schoolwork, encouraged her and let her know how much we cared. On the day that Leonida left to go back to her high school, as I was working on painting the soccer goals, Christy brought her by to say goodbye to me. Leonida told me she would do the things we encouraged her to do and would work harder on improving her schoolwork and grades. As she walked away with Christy, I remember thinking with tears in my eyes, how can God make you fall in love with a young child that you've only seen a few times and lives on the other side of the world? I felt towards her like I do towards any of my other four kids. The transformation of the kids is simply amazing to see. At Open Arms, where they are given a home, they're fed, they're educated, and most importantly, they're taught about Jesus and they're loved. On that trip 5 years ago, we saw the kids' love of soccer. When they played, you would think they were playing in the World Cup. They played in a field that was slanted like this with rocks and boulders, and the goals were tree branches that they had tied together. And because of that, I believe that God gave Christy and I a dream to build the kids a real soccer field. What they call is a football pitch. Mm-hmm. I shared this dream with my best friend, Kevin Knutson. And little did I know, but God began to orchestrate a way for this to happen. Mm-hmm. Kevin, Doug, and Lori Sprague and their team at Candy Excavating came alongside Christy and I to make that dream come true. Mm-hmm. And at the village, I watched as they worked sun up to sun down, day after day after day. Mm-hmm. Thank you to Doug and Lori and their team of Kevin Knutson, Ben Berge, Keith Knutson, mm-hmm. Danny Spray, mm-hmm. Brett Pulver, and Kelly Knutson for their dedication, love, and commitment to make this happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our team took about 75 soccer balls. It was helped by the fact that Nike donated over 25 soccer balls mm-hmm. and 46 pairs of soccer cleats. Mm-hmm. We took 75 soccer balls to the village, and on the day the field was finished, we rolled those balls out to the kids. The kids were so happy.
Yeah.
I wish every single one of you in this room could have been there to see that. I'll finish with this. On one of the last days during this trip, during an outreach to the elderly community, an elderly man named Joel walked up in front of the group of about 400 people. In front of them, he said to me, that he wanted to give me a gift. He said, I want to give you a gift that when I returned to America, every time I looked at it, he wanted it to remind me to preach the gospel of Jesus. A gift that when I returned to Kenya, mm-hmm. he wanted me to bring it back with me as a reminder to preach the gospel of Jesus when I was there. Mm-hmm. A gift that would remind me that one day we would bring some of the kids of this village, when they grow up, to America to preach the gospel of Jesus. Mm-hmm. He then said to me, I want to give you my cane. Mm-hmm. This is Joel's cane. And I want you to know that every time I look at it, I promise you and him and our Father in heaven that I will remember mm-hmm. to preach the gospel of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And remember the great work that was done on this trip. Mm-hmm. Thank you for letting me share.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. Thanks, Dave. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're going to see in just a moment what we did with the soccer field, what this team did, but it's pretty incredible. And we're talking about a children's home, but what I want you to understand is it's more than just kids coming and having the necessities of life taken care of, which they do very well. It's actually training them on a trajectory to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to Kenya. And so I want to say this, it's very familiar to what we've done here from the time we dedicate babies. And people have asked me this, when do you start looking for leaders? I said, when I dedicate them as babies. There's a lot of you here right now in this room that were dedicated as babies or had your children dedicated here. and God spoke a word over them, and we're doing the same with these kids. It's been something entrusted to us that's very sacred, and we want to say we want to help that happen. And so one of the ways that we do help that happen is we offer leadership training, and that's what we did when we went there. We had a team together that offered that leadership development. There at Open Arms, it was Annette and I and Dave Burnett, and Annette and I did their in-service training. So they have about 80 to 100 employees that work there. And so what we did is we spent time with all of those individuals and their executive teams and just talked a whole lot about leadership and team building and what all that looks like. And so we were actually able to share in that area. Dave Gallagher and Rachel, who are the founders and president CEOs of Open Arms, that was deeply appreciated. And so we were able to just hang out, spend some time there. At the same time, Pastor Dave Metzger and Mike Lane were in another part of Kenya. They were actually doing some pastoral training as well. So your influence in the country of Kenya was felt, and it was a strong influence. And so we really enjoyed our time and met some really great leaders. What we want you to know is there's some wonderful leaders that are already in great stages of leadership capacity. They're just good leaders, but there are a lot of leaders coming along that are younger that have this incredible capacity to lead. You're going to be meeting some of them because we forged out an alliance with them at Canby Bible College. They're going to be here and studying here on this campus, so you'll be seeing Kenyans here. Probably for the next several years, and it'll be starting in August. I'll share more about that in a moment. But just know, these are the kind of things that we want to see happen. We know God has put that together, and we're excited about it. So we did. We put, as Dave said, I think the greatest, the thing that caused the most noise in the village, certainly it wasn't necessarily leadership training, you know, that's kind of boring stuff, but it was actually the building of a soccer field, and that gets people's attention. And just really appreciate Kevin and Kelly, their work, their friendship, and what happened by putting the soccer field together. So, Kevin, just share with us kind of that journey, what that looked like, and how it happened.
Well, sure. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Ilo Kima Matuo.
Mm-hmm.
Jumbo.
You
got to get a few of those words down back.
And he wasn't cussing at you. He was actually saying it was like, so I just want you to know that.
Well, there was so much to tell, so many details that God's hands was involved with. It was just amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to try to touch on some of the highlights. And, you know, really, the whole trip was a highlight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult. I'm glad that you brought it in. Ned gave me 45 minutes to say thank you. Well, I wrote some stuff down. I'm going to keep with that so that I can keep on task. My journey also began when Dave and Christy came back from Open Arms and about 5 years ago. And I remember how excited he was. It was all Jonesy. And what they had going on over there, I could tell it was real. One that thing he was really excited about, of course, was the playing soccer with the kids. He described it as if it was the World Cup. Each and every one of those kids played as if it was the World Cup on a field that was really not a field.
Mm-mm.
It was a hillside, rocks, dirt,
mm-hmm.
with battered boards for a goal. Then he comes to me and he says, "See, Kevin, wouldn't it be cool if we go there all these years and build a soccer field?" I was laughing to myself, and I was thinking, boy, what they put in that lentil soup.
Yeah, really.
It's kind of like a pizza for us here. But I was he was really excited, and I was joining in his excitement through all that. Over the last 5 years, I've watched David Christy, and it wasn't a fluke. Their commitment to Open Arms did nothing but just grow and grow and grow. And then all of a sudden, boom, makes happy. We're going to Africa, and we're building a soccer field, a football pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like Dave was saying, a team of six from Canby Excavating employees was assembled. John King, Brett, myself, my brother Keith, which is handsomely sporting some African attire this morning. You know, bro? And Ben Burton. Yeah, I love that guy.
Mm-hmm.
This guy didn't decide, wasn't called to go until the last minute, left his family, trolled all the way across the world by himself to go set the stage. And in my opinion, was the pinnacle mark for the success of this whole thing. So kudos to that guy. I love him. We started our planning approximately 2 months prior to leaving. We had 8 days to complete the project. A project that was a size, with that size around here, with all of our resources that are available to us at hand, would have been very difficult to achieve that schedule and be successful. We prepared our horse for battle, and we left the outcome to the Lord. Early on planning, we didn't know the quality of the equipment we were going to get over there. You know, we didn't know if we was going to get cable drone rigs, you know, and old dozers and clank. And we had to move, you know, over 4,000 yards of dirt. It was no small job. Or if we had to have an ox pulling something, I don't know, you know. But we soon found out that this was some great equipment. I'm sorry to say that their Doug Sprague KMX, some of that equipment was much nicer than his. I can say that I've been there for 30 years. I would go see our days. We're get up at 5. I'd get up at 5. I'd do the devotions till 6. And I ate breakfast and ran the fed as well. It was great. Thomas was amazing. And then I'd walk around the mountainside of the village every morning to where we were developing the football pitch. And I'd work till dark. I'd eat, go to bed. Did that every day. I would come in at night and get to hear the stories from Kelly of all God was doing on that day. And I remember telling me the story about the Elders' Day, where it was X amount of people was to show up, and four times more came, and we call it, you know, how God fed the 5,000. And I'm sitting out there on a dozer going, I want to see 5,000 get fed.
Yeah.
You know, but I felt stuck out there, but I heard the Lord just tell me, you know, just keep focusing. Just keep focusing. And you'll get to see a different 5,000 get fed. So we did. We completed the football pitch the last day. God's never late. He's always on time. It's just perfect. He scheduled the weather for us. Of course, we're Oregonians. We brought the rain over there. They haven't seen that in 2 months. And it turned out we needed that rain to make that field solid so that it wouldn't erode and go away. It's going to be there for a long, long time. And not only did we complete the football pitch, we were able to fit in the major groundbreaking excavation on a future sports court and children's playground as well, which has been a dream of Babu Ted's. And there's a story behind that, but that was amazing to be able to even cut that in. That was a lot of work reshaping the lower whole hillside, and maybe there'll be pictures of it. And then that last day, about 5 o'clock in the evening, my experience of seeing a different 5,000 fed took place. All those kids got out of school. Came running down to the football pitch for the first time, and then it hit me. I had a short but sweet emotional moment, and then recovered. recovered quickly.
We need one of those pictures of the soccer goal.
I had a quick glimpse into the future, or what the future is going to bring from this construction of this field that they call a football pitch. Many, many people will come. And one way or another, before they leave, they will hear about our God. And because he has definitely claimed that as his territory, Kenya is being impacted for the kingdom of heaven through the vessel of open arms. So, in closing, asante.
Yeah, asante. Asante, sana. Jumbo. Jumbo. Thank you. One of the uses they want to, what they want to facilitate with the use of the soccer field is to have evening revivals and music, and they can probably put a couple thousand easy out there in any given evening and really preach the gospel. And so it's become more than and just a play field, it's actually a platform for the gospel. And so we want to continue to pray that every place and every person that comes on there is affected, and that's what we did the last day we were there. We just anointed the whole field with oil and prayed over it and said, we'll just let this be a platform for the gospel. And so we were able to do that. Thank you, guys. The team that put that together, pretty amazing. We also were able to reach out in the community and be with the children. And I'm going to let Annette take. I cannot tell you what a miracle it is that I do not have 10 Kenyans living in my house right now. So I'm just telling you right now, it is a miracle because that's what would have happened.
Yeah, I would have to concur with Dave Burnett how I didn't expect to go and fall in love with these children. And how they affected my life, transforming my life. I think areas that, just you needed to be healed in even. I mean, that's what transformation does unexpectedly, you know, when you say yes to something. When we were planning on going, Dave came to me over 2 years ago and walked into the internship office and said, we need to go to Kenya. And at the time, I was planning the next trip for Israel, and I said, I want to go, but we're going to have to wait until 2018, which seems so far away. And so, but on our bulletin board, he brought back this little grass picture of a hut, and I put it up there, and I put a sticky note on it that said, Africa 2018. And that was, you know, when you do that 2 years plus, it just seems like, okay, I hope that happens, you know. And we just kept believing God for that. And thank you for your support in all kinds of ways that this team was able to go and represent you. They represented our church, Canby Four Square, and it was a tremendous blessing. One other thing I want to say about the soccer field, actually, Kevin could probably talk a lot more about it, but his time is up. And is that one part of this field had this huge, humongous rock, and that was the thing all week. How are we going to get rid of this rock? Because it's a lava field. And they thought about blowing it up and all those kinds of things. And But now that is the corner. It's like, and we talked about this yesterday in our meeting, it's a cornerstone to where there's going to be, that's kind of the place where, whether it's a preacher or a band or whatever it is, overlooks the field. So God knew all along that that rock had to stay. And so that was cool. But we did. We had such an amazing time. I'm going to let Kelly in just a moment talk about the outreaches. But one of the things is whenever God calls you, because I had only been to Africa once, and that was to Nigeria, which was interesting because I was talking with the teachers. I went over and had porridge with them. They have porridge at 11 o'clock in the morning. And they asked me, have you been to Africa? And I said, I've been to Nigeria, but it's crazy there. And they said, you're right, Nigeria is crazy. And so it's like, it was an interesting conversation we had. How Africa's not much different than, you know, how we think and how what we do. But that saying yes always takes a risk. It always requires our time and our attention and intention. But when we say yes, the transformation that happens in our life, whether it's going to Africa or it's going to Bible study, it doesn't matter. God uses He transforms us whenever we say yes. And it was one of those opportunities that we saw transformation in our team as well as many people that we were able to share with. So Kelly, why don't you share about the outreach?
We got to do several outreaches, but a couple of them that really stood out was the honor and privilege to honor the elders of the community. This was the second year that they did this, and last year there were 60 people who attended, so they thought maybe 100 or 150 would show up, and lo and behold, 418 showed up. It was just incredible. We just kept pushing chairs in and look out the window, and they just kept coming. Just lines and lines of these elders. There was a man there at 7 o'clock in the morning. This didn't start till 10. So he was so excited to be there. He came 3 hours early and just sat there for 3 hours waiting for us to get started. Many of these people there was a 106-year-old, I believe there was a 100-year-old woman. They walked for miles to get here, a lot of them. So that was just incredible to know that they were just so excited and so happy to come and just be blessed. We started off with washing their feet, which we heard later on that they just were really honored by that. It was a real sign of respect. They were really touched, and we were really touched to be able to do that and to look into their faces and to have conversation with them and just know that we blessed them in such a great way. We did worship with them. There was a word given, dancing. We were so excited about that. We love to dance in our family. So me and my daughter ran up there, and we were dancing with these elderly ladies, and they were down, like, almost touching the ground. We're trying to dance with them. And 100-year-old women dancing like this. It was just really fun, really exciting. There was some medical education that they were given. They were given vitamins for a month. 418 people were given vitamins for a month, so that's really important to them. There were 150 meals prepared. And, you know, we started going through these meals, and then we're looking, you know, we're running out of food. And so Christy said, you know, they took such good care of us, pots and pots of food at every meal. And we just kept putting this food in the refrigerator and just so worried about what's going to happen to this food. Is it going to go to waste? And God didn't let any of it go to waste. They drove a car down. They picked up all the food out of the houses, bring it up, and we fed 418 people, and some food came back even. So it was just amazing. The cane is really special because in the worship time, the men, you know, they were worshiping God. I was just so amazed. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I thought that our God wasn't so real over there, but I just was amazed at how many people there loved the Lord. Mm-hmm. They were just worshiping and dancing. And when they left, they broke out in dancing and singing their celebration songs. They were hugging us and kissing us, and we got to give them each a blanket, which was really, really important because the wet season was coming up for them, and so it was cold for them. And we had to get another truckload because I think they had 100 blankets on site, and so they bring a truckload of blankets, and we just kept breaking out the blankets, and it just was a really cool experience, just a real blessing. Another place that we got to visit was the Remand Center. And this is a detention center for young kids. I would say between 10 and 18 years old is the general age. They said up to 300 kids can be there at a time. At this time, there was only 61, which was really amazing because this is a 100 by 50 concrete courtyard that they sit in all day long with nothing to do. Their dorms kind of surround it. A lot of these kids are there just simply because they don't have a home and the government doesn't know what to do with them. A lot of them are there because they're on trial. They're waiting for their trial to be heard because they've committed crimes. So there could be some really big offenders there along with these innocent kids. There were only 9 girls there, and the rest of the 61 were boys. when we first came in, they were very shy and timid. You know, there was that culture barrier. You couldn't really talk to them very well. But as we began to clean their dorms, the girls rushed in. They wanted to help. You know, they wanted to scrub the toilets and stuff because they just wanted something to do. And in that time, one of our team members, Cindy, just such a sweet, sweet woman, asked if she could hug one of the girls. And she said the hug was just kind of, you know, she was hugging her. And the girl was just kind of like, this is Cindy up here. And then the next one hugged her a little bit harder. And then the next one threw her arms around her neck and just held her so tight. And she asked her, is this the first time you've been hugged by a white woman? And she kind of laughed, yeah. And it just really broke something there for us. Everybody started hugging everybody. When we were done cleaning, we went outside and we got to dance with them. They showed us our dance, their dance moves, and they asked us our dance moves, which I don't have any. I mean, I love to dance, but I was wishing my kids were there because they got great dance moves. It was just really a fun time to connect with them, to bring a skit about the Word of God. Some of us gave testimonials of hurt that we've gone through and how the Lord has brought hope to us. And it just was a great way to share with them the love of Jesus. And I don't know, we gave an offering to accept the Lord, and I think every single hand went up. I don't know how many times they've done that, but we just believed, praise the Lord, that that was going to be a fruit in their lives and it was going to grow. The man that oversees it all is a Christian, which is a new thing, and he's done some really amazing changes there in that place. And so I'm excited for what the Lord's going to do there, continue to do there. We just left there just excited about being able to share our time, give them time. Someone came in intentionally to spend time with them, you know, their days. Can you imagine a 10 to 18-year-old sitting all day with nothing to do? I just can't even imagine that. So that was really exciting. I wasn't able to be at the dedication or the presentation of the balls and all that for the kids, but I did get to watch a video, and one of the daddies, Daddy Upendo, which Upendo means love, his name's Solomon, shared James 1:27 at that dedication, and that is, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for the orphans and widows. Mm-hmm. And so I would just encourage you, you don't have to go to Africa to care. There's so many orphans, there's so many needy, there's so many elderly here, whether they're in your family or your community, in your jobs, however you can smile, hug, encourage, help them. I just would ask that you would have eyes and ears to see where the Lord's leading you.
Amen. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you.
What a tremendous privilege we had. This particular picture, Ron, what's his name?
This is Amos Biwot. Amos is the 3,000-meter steeplechase gold medalist of 1968 Mexico City, and then the same in 72 Munich. And he and his wife received Christ at this moment. So he just accepted
the
Lord.
He was one of the elders.
He was one of the elders. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kenya, the area that we're at, a lot of the Olympians do... they do train there because it's a high elevation, and so it was a real privilege to meet him as well. One of the things that we did when we came to the Open Arms Village is we had an opportunity, obviously, because it's a children's home, to spend time with the children. And so they had, what I love, love, love about Open Arms, they were so, they're so intentional about what God has called them to do, so that when we went, we really felt like they used our time fully. And, you know, whenever you do anything, you have to go in with this flexible heart. Mm-hmm. That's really just submitting to whatever God is doing, right? Mm-hmm. And so especially when you go to maybe a foreign country, going in knowing that what might be on your agenda may not be on their agenda. Mm-hmm. And that's a lesson in itself. Mm-hmm. And so that was something that we kind of had to fly by. Mm-hmm. But they had on this schedule to go into the community, to the public schools, which did not work out because it was holiday. And so we ended up spending a lot of time with the children in the village, which was exactly, I'm sure, what God intended us for us to do. And so I'm going to have Courtney share, because she was a big part of what we did and how we did it with the children in the village. And she's an intern, and she was a tremendous leader, along with our other interns. Mm-hmm. They prepared to go and serve.
Amen. Thank you, Annette. There's so many moments of transformation. It's so hard to pick just one, but I'm going to try. So the day that we thought we were going to go into the public schools, one of our facilitators said, hey, actually, they're out of school today, but the children who are in the village are still here. Would you be willing to put on a VBS here? And we're like, absolutely. So in my head, I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to go grab my binder of stuff, you know, hoping that I have everything and we're going to make this work. And so my mind started running. I'm like, God, how are we going to do this? We didn't plan for this. And so I grab my stuff and I kind of walk over to the area we're going to be having the VBS. They have a school on the campus of Open Arms. So I'm like, cool, we've got space to do it. This is going to be great. And so the kids start filing in, a ton of them. And I'm like, I don't know if we're going to have enough space for this. But so it continued happening. And I was so caught up in the details of how this was going to work, I wasn't in the present moment. And so we started. Well, that's a great picture, because that's actually what happened. We started worship, and Kaylee started leading worship, and kind of my job with worship was to lead the hand motions. In the first 5 minutes of us starting worship, there's a bit of a culture disconnect, and I didn't know how to break it. And as soon as I, you know, started dancing around, the Lord says, Courtney, you need to lose your dignity. And I was like, what? And he said, you need to lose your dignity. Mm-hmm. You're praising me. So you need to loosen up a little bit. You need to dance. And the kids were laughing because this white girl was trying to do some motions in front of them. But from that moment on of God saying, you need to lose your dignity and you just need to let go and live for me, the disconnect broke. And it wasn't just me. I think it was more my disconnect that the Lord was breaking. Mm-hmm. But to see that, and the kids completely took us in and taught us how to dance, which was amazing. But from that moment on, there was just this connect. And I even got to walk outside the building. We had rotations outside happening. And I got to step back, and I got to see our team. And I got to see their giftings. And it was just amazing to see a team of people who love on people so well, and seeing God individually use their giftings. Probably the culmination of all these things that I actually felt all of these things and realized what God was doing was my friend Kaylee and I, she's another intern, we were walking back from lunch up towards their multi-purpose building, and there's this little child ran out on the porch and looked at Kaylee and I and saying, I am free to run, and stood there and waited for us to respond. And in that moment, the lesson that I learned is our God operates in the moment, and so should we. Mm-hmm. That's something that's going to impact my life and the way I live my life, and even coming home. You know, I asked God, you know, what's your plan? What's your plan for this church, for my life, you know, for us as Christians, what's your plan? And he said, to live in the moment. So the Kenyan children taught me that, and I'll never forget it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you. In August, what we're going to have the privilege of doing is hosting at least the down payment, the earnest of Kenya students here. Joseph and Caleb will be two students that will be attending Canby Bible College, be living with Annette and I for a few years while they get their Bible education. The whole idea is that they get educated here and we send them back to Kenya, because they're nation changers, and we want to make sure that we're good and responsible with that. I did understand there are a few more now that are applying for visas to come here to go to Bible college. So would you do this? Pray for the visa process. It's not always easy in different places with different people. It's not always easy. You've done an amazing job laying a foundation. Your regular giving, your specific giving, all those kind of things make a way. Listen, the best delivery system for the gospel is generosity. You always have to remember that. We are saved because God so loved you that he gave. And it's continued to be generosity with time, money, resources. We want to see God do a great thing. So thank you, team, and thank you, team, for all that you've done to provide for us to be able to go. You'll be seeing much more of this as time goes on, because God's not done. It's going to keep happening, and it'll keep happening, and it'll keep happening. Just be ready. Let's just be ready. Father, we just thank you that you've given us opportunity to touch the nations for Jesus, to even hear the name Canby mixed in with Swahili and Kalenjin and some of the other languages. Lord, it just was kind of remarkable. So I just pray a blessing upon everyone in this room for those that you might be calling and touching to engage, Lord, to not only see something, but let their feet go to what you're showing us, the people you're showing us. Let us go there. Let us be practical. Let us be real with what you've called us to. In Jesus' name we pray, and we say together, amen. Would you stand with me? Would you go ahead and do that? Again, I want to thank you. Well, people.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.